This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. No Dave Bourne today. He is off for a couple of weeks on a family vacation. So safe travels to him in this winter weather pattern. Speaking of winter weather pattern, here in the Willamette Valley, we're getting quite a deluge this week. And I got sent a headline that I thought was interesting that from the 1st of January through Valentine's Day, you know who had more rain than Portland? Palm Springs. Palm Springs had slightly more rain than Portland, Oregon, from the 1st through Valentine's Day. I guess that's just a downpour, and they're not even equipped to handle that kind of rain, storm drains and all that stuff. So you never know with these weather patterns. I think we're going to catch up and surpass them if we have not already today. Anyway, welcome to Newsmakers. This is where we talk about local issues and ideas and institutions and individuals. And today I am so excited because I've been waiting a long time to have this illustrious guest here in the studio and talk to us. We hear a lot about Salem, and we talk a lot about Salem with good reason. It's been nice to have Mayor Bennett in. But today, we get his charming counterpart from Kaiser, and Mayor Kathy Clark is here in the studio with us. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you talk about Kaiser. It's such an interesting story, actually. How long have you lived in Kaiser?
I've lived in Kaiser almost 30 years.
Holy cow, like since before it was Kaiser, almost.
Kaiser was a baby city when we moved here in 1989.
Wow. And when did you decide you wanted to be part of elected office?
I was invited to run for city council back in 2006 when Councilor Jackie Moyer was looking to not run again. So she helped mentor me and get me ready to move on to city council, or at least ask the voters if I could do that. But before that, I was already involved with budget and with some task forces and community policing. And like so many on our city council, that's how we start getting involved, is through our committees or other volunteer groups in our community.
Yeah, it's cool. And we beat that drum here on Newsmakers. We like absolutely get involved. Don't just complain. And if you want to have some say over how, the direction of all of these things. So good for you and good for Kaiser that you jumped in and started participating in those committees. Budget is huge.
Budget's a big one. And I've been on budget committee since 2002. So I was already very familiar with this Kaiser budget, which, by the way, has been an award winner for many, many years, both for its presentation and also for the quality of reporting that it does. So I want to give a big shout out to our former finance director, Susan Galsdorf, and our current finance director, Tim Wood. They work very, very hard to make sure that our budget document is not only readable and understandable, but also achieve some of the highest quality standards according to their industry.
So people should look at Kaiser as a sample of how to do it right.
I believe so.
All right. And actually, if you're a Kaiser citizen, you wanted to see what you're talking about, can that be found on the website?
Absolutely. We always have our budget on the website. The manager's recommended budget for this year will post as soon as it's made available. And the ongoing and previous budgets are also posted. If you can't find them, easy to Google, but we do keep them available.
All right. So let's talk a little bit. Well, you opened the doors. Let's talk a little bit about budget in terms of how complicated is it compared to, say, the city of Salem? Is there a housing authority? Is there urban renewal area? Is obviously not an airport budget and things like that.
Correct. Kaiser has a much smaller budget than Salem's. We are the 13th largest city in the state, not the second. So there are a number of areas in which we partner with the city of Salem. You mentioned housing. So we run one of our housing programs with the memorandum of understanding with the city of Salem, so that we have staff people who are very knowledgeable, and this is a very technical area, doing the work for both of our cities. It's a benefit to the taxpayers and to the recipients in those programs to have someone who is very knowledgeable about those areas. But we have other areas where we do partner directly or collaboratively, such as policing. Our police chiefs work very closely along with Marion County to make sure that we are working seamlessly for the public safety of all of our residents.
Okay, smart. So Kaiser has, let's talk about, a little bit about governance. We have to assume that the listener doesn't know. They don't know you, and they don't know the mayor and the councilor and how they work. The city, it's a volunteer position.
That's correct.
And you have how many councilors?
So there are six councilors plus one, me, which makes a total of seven on our city council. We are all volunteers. We all are working. And we do this as our non-day jobs.
Right. Who runs the city?
We have a city manager.
There you go.
So like almost all the cities in Oregon, and there are 241 cities in this wonderful state, 20 of which are Marion County. And all of the ones in Marion County are volunteer, like we are. So we generally have a city administrator or a city manager, and that is the paid professional who is credentialed, who is trained on city operations, and also on municipal law and processes, so we can make sure our tax dollars and our public resources are used appropriately.
Cool. All right, let's tell listener a little bit about you. Because you're on the radio, and now they're hearing the voice, and some people have seen you around the community, some not. Tell us a little about you and what you do and what your goals are as being mayor, and how long are you going to stick at it?
That's a lot of questions.
Do you get
a
lot of those questions?
Oh, let me start at the top. Who am I? So my husband and I chose Kaiser when we moved here from Corvallis back in 1989. Our family was growing, and my husband was tired of commuting from Corvallis. He was a firefighter paramedic with Marion County, and he did work there for a total of 30 years.
Wow.
Recently, he retired from West Valley Fire District as the chief. So far, 42 years in the fire service. I was working at Oregon State in the School of Veterinary Medicine as a research assistant in parasitology. So that was what my graduate degree was in.
Parasitology?
And parasites. You know, this little, little living critters inside other living critters.
Uh-huh. So, I got the picture.
Yeah. I worked with large animals there. My graduate work was with fish. So any critter that had another critter, that's what I was working there. With.
You know, you're probably the first person I've ever met that was an expert in that field.
Well, there we go.
All right.
Something new every day.
Wow. So I didn't realize you've been here just 1 year longer than I have in this area. So it's a long haul for Kaiser. You've seen just about everything there is in Kaiser history then.
Well, I wasn't here for the seven votes that formed this city. Mm-hmm. So that was back in 1982. And the final vote that went from a no to a yes happened just about a month before my husband and I were married. So in 1982... Household Clark was born, as well as the city of Kaiser.
So I have been told that back then it was kind of a move to define the area as something other than the north part of Salem, or to be annexed and become North Salem. Is that an accurate characterization?
That's what I understand from people who were here for those conversations. Up until that point, people were just fine with the level of service from Marion County. But one of the big issues, as I understand it, was our water system, which is completely separate from Salem's. As everybody who lives in Salem became very aware last summer, Salem water comes from the Santiam River. Kaiser water comes from a series of wells. So they aren't even related to each other, except for H2O. But we do have two interties and a memorandum of understanding, an MOU, between the cities of Kaiser and Salem. And we did activate that during the water crisis this last summer.
All right. There's so many other things to talk about, fun things in Kaiser, Kaiser Station, the volcanoes, the bridge that's not happening, that some people just want to shift into your city, and water. And actually, so how these agreements do help the taxpayer. So stay tuned, everyone. We're talking to Kathy Clark, the mayor of Kaiser, and you're listening to Newsmakers on 1430. KYKN Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. We're talking to Kathy Clark, the mayor of Kaiser. During this hour, every weekday from noon to one, we talk about local issues and local individuals and things that affect our quality of life and our pocketbook and the way we go about conducting business in the Willamette Valley. Some days are harder than others when there's national news. To leave that national news and not talk about it. But I've been waiting a long time to have Mayor Clark here. What a delight. And to talk a little bit more about things that sometimes Kaiser doesn't get a lot of attention and a lot of press. And there's so many things that happen to Kaiser. One, that are cool. And two, that are important. So so Kaiser is about, is it 40,000?
Not quite yet. According to some of the numbers from Portland State University, we're around the 39,000-ish mark.
Yeah, and I see them. We get lumped together a lot as Salem Kaiser, and I see projections. Well, I guess right now combined, we're about 205,000 people.
Right, within the two cities, and then you take in our metropolitan statistical area. I know that's a technical-sounding term, but it takes in the urbanized areas, so it's City of Salem, City of Kaiser, and then there's two areas on the east side of Salem, Hayesville and Four Corners, which are fully urbanized, but and they count when we're looking at the areas that are more urban rather than farmland or rural. Mm-hmm. But they don't count in the City of Salem proper for population.
Yeah, huge. I mean, if you guys get an opportunity to look on a map, that Four Corners and Jan Ray area, completely, like you said, urbanized. You would think it's part of Salem, but it's not. And they are not protected by Salem police, Salem fire. They probably go to work. They probably go to the store. They maybe even go to schools on Salem roads, and they don't pay any property tax. So I've always had a little thing about that. But I think we all should be one. Can't we just all get along? So speaking of which, because everybody likes to talk about growth, lack of growth, lack of desire for growth, or lack of or a desire for growth. How much has Kaiser been growing in population in the last decade or two?
We continue to grow, even though our urban growth boundary and our city limits are almost one and the same at this point. We have, we're supposed to, under Oregon land use laws, have, you know, 20 years mm-hmm. of land supply and so forth. Well, Kaiser and Salem are combined in one urban growth boundary. So our buildable land within our urban growth boundary is in West Salem and South Salem. We have little or none that we could adjust in the City of Kaiser to hit the urban growth boundary at this point.
So that is an obstacle to growth in population. And has it have you been at that for a while, or has there been, you know, your 2% growth that we have been seeing in Salem for the last 50 or 60 years?
It has constrained our rate of growth. When we had land that we could annex in back in the 90s, we did see a higher rate of growth. And part of the desirability of Kaiser is our accessibility to I-5. We know that people don't necessarily work and live in the same community. We have mostly residential. We don't have a lot of employment within Kaiser. We have about out of every 6 out of 7 people in general leaves Kaiser for work.
Interesting. Years ago, we were interviewing a city manager candidate for the City of Salem, and he came from a community that was landlocked because it was more of what you'd see in a metro area, where the boundaries were the boundaries, and outside the boundaries was the next city. So they literally had nowhere to go. And so our concept of an urban growth boundary or the expansion of your city limits would have been completely foreign to him. Like, I've never dealt with this. I don't understand why it exists or how it exists. So he didn't get the job, by the way. it's interesting. And then I look at Kaiser. So you're up against the urban growth boundary, which we've talked about in Newsmakers. And the only way to bring in more commercial land or residential land is to expand that urban growth boundary, right?
That's correct. And we have a number of studies that are underway right now. We have one on the cost of growth. We did an educational outreach grant through our transportation growth management. So these are both TGM grants. Right now, we are also doing a buildable lands inventory housing needs analysis. And why are we doing that? Because Kaiser is a severely rent-burdened city, according to the benchmark set by the state. So that means more than 25% of the people in our community are paying 50% or more of their income just for housing. And I don't need to be told that that is severely rent burdened. Oh, yes, that is extraordinary. People can't afford to live in this community, or if they're struggling that much to just pay for housing, They don't have much in the way to cover other expenses of raising their families and meeting their other needs.
Does Kaiser need more multifamily, and so that there's a higher inventory of that that would stabilize or maybe even lower rent levels?
The last time we looked at our building lands inventory for housing, we needed housing of all types. We needed single family. We needed medium range, multifamily, and the higher density multifamily. So the answer of housing types is basically yes.
Yes, we need that.
But one of the areas that we're looking very closely at is not only the types of housing, but also the affordability. Is there a rational connection between the jobs that people have, the income they have, and the affordability of that housing? Because we need to make sure that whatever we're doing on a legislative side allows for the types of housing that people can afford to live in within reason.
Are you familiar with the bills in the legislature now having to do with them? Actually, 2001 is one of the bills. Actually, we're going to save that for a show next week, but I heard Speaker Kotek talk about it, about including different kinds of housing, duplexes, triplexes, quads, in single what would otherwise be a single-family residential zone. You familiar with that?
I am.
And Kaiser's watching that as a city in terms of what might change for you guys?
Well, we've already done some of that work. In advance of this conversation, we had accessory dwelling unit changes to our development code in place before that was passed by the state. We've had to make some adjustments based on the legislation. We already allow cottage clusters, which are a higher density single family residential design within that zone, which are very, very nice. Again, a developer needs to amass the properties to make that happen, but they are a nice alternative. We already have in place our infill standards, which allow for the higher density single family. So a lot of these things we've already started dealing with, because going back to our earlier comments about our lack of land, when you have a constrained land supply, then you start really looking at how are you going to use the land you already have. Mm-hmm. Do we have some spaces that could redevelop within Kaiser right now? Absolutely. Are there some empty lots that need to be developed? Yes. Did we already count them toward our housing needs? Oh, yes.
Does it equal 20 years of supply?
No.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even meet the requirement that we have now. So when we look at the housing needs, we counted all of those, and we actually did it lot by lot, because during our study, I think it was 2011, people were going, well, you can't build on that lot. And we'd go over there. Sure enough, it's like on a steep slope or the ground's not stable. So the consultant had to start taking properties out of the inventory, going, I guess we can't put anything there.
What?
Right.
Mayor Clark, are you saying that some consultants don't know everything? They might get some things wrong.
I'm saying some consultants need additional information.
There you go. All right. So you're describing, for me, the city being really proactive and recognizing it, looking out and trying to get the data, trying to compile this and make changes. Would you describe Kaiser and its leadership and its staff and its, frankly, its citizens being, is it a nimble process? Is it responsive ahead of the game?
We've tried to be. Our planning commission works extremely hard under the direction of our planning department. You know, they work collaboratively to put together a very robust work program and try to get ahead of what can we do? How can we be proactive? How can we see opportunities coming down the road for us in terms of commercial development as well as residential development? Are there changes in our code that would allow development to happen in a responsible manner? Are there things in there that are not going to be beneficial to the surrounding properties? So we really try to look at it in a very comprehensive way and listen to the neighbors, the business owners, and the property owners. And I have to distinguish between the two, because there's a lot of our businesses that don't own the property that they're in. Mm-hmm. And people have got to understand there is a huge difference there in how we can negotiate with our commercial properties. That said, we really try to understand the issues that are coming so we can address them as best we can. However, with the urban growth boundary, we have some additional complications. One is we share our boundary with Salem. And two, that is governed then by the all of the land use laws that can be helpful or
and
challenging.
Sometimes you want a divorce.
Yeah. And so we have to, you know, do a lot of, we've had to do a tremendous number of studies just to get to this point in the conversation. And it frustrates the cookies out of some people. And I've had my days where I'm going, can't we just do this? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, well, we have to study this or look at this. The buildable lands inventory, for example, mm-hmm. a year ago, that was not on our radar. But because of the state legislation, we now have to engage in this. And I think it's very helpful to get a present time assessment of our housing. The other two studies we're doing, again, are going to help inform any conversation around our urban growth boundaries, as well as how we use the land we already have.
All right, I'm going to cycle back here. A couple of things you mentioned. I just want to make sure the listener understands. Accessory dwelling unit, the ADU, so that's another acronym in government. You can just think in terms of mother-in-law quarters, right? If you've got a property and it's deep or it's wide, and you can put an accessory dwelling unit, another living quarters on a lot that already has a house, that's an ADU.
Correct.
So, and by allowing those, you get a little bit more infill, you get a little more, you know, tax base, you get more residences and more diversity on one lot rather than trying to tear it down and try to build two houses.
Well, and interestingly enough, you can build a separate unit. You can also do what we call an internal ADU because you can reconfigure your home where a section will have a separate entrance and be, you know,
dual living.
Yeah, it'll be dual living, but it's not a duplex. So mm-hmm. there are some differences between an internal accessory dwelling unit and a duplex. In a practical sense, not really, because you can have, people living in your ADU that's under one roof, mm-hmm. and it kind of looks like a duplex, but there are some things that the duplex requires that the ADU does not. So it's actually less expensive to build and provide more housing options.
And also for, you know, our population, a lot of people are looking for ways to live with elderly parents, you know, and care for them and to age in place. And I know it's very desirable for a lot of people shopping for the next house is we're going to need a dual living situation because my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, or maybe there's a health or ability challenged son or daughter that needs to live with them, but you have a separate unit. So ADUs, an internal ADU, I had not considered that. Thank you for that. And cottage clusters, hopefully you can visualize that. You see those, you kind of go down a courtyard sometimes and there's a cluster of little cottages, and that's another mix in the housing bag that makes it all so diverse. And also it gives a little higher density, but you have an independent living house. So that's cool. We're way behind a little bit, but appreciate the clarification of that. We're talking to Mayor Kathy Clark. We're going to come back and talk about some of the other unique things about Kaiser. We're not even going to go through it, so we're going to have to beg for her to come back. But welcoming her, this is Brent DeHart with and for Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Thank you, and welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. We're talking to the mayor of Kaiser, Kathy Clark. Kathy, thank you for being with us today. So many things to talk about. Let's switch gears instead of the dry land use stuff, which fascinate me. But, you know, maybe we got to give a rounded view of what Kaiser is all about, because Kaiser is home to the volcanoes. It is home to Kaiser Station, and you have other things going on, a beautiful civic center and some of the other things. What kind of things do you like to highlight?
What I like to highlight about Kaiser is our very livable community with 19 parks. We have 250 acres of parks in our system. We also have, as you mentioned, the Kaiser-Salem Volcanoes, which are an affiliate of the San Francisco Giants.
And I have to interrupt you there, Mary, and let you know that there's a new partnership with KYKN and the Volcanoes. So we'll be talking to them every week, and we're going to be broadcasting the games here on KYKN. So that's exciting.
Very excited to hear that development. I get to serve with some other community folks, helping advise Mitch Graff, the new president of operations at Volcanoes. And I'm excited about some of the ideas he's got for the total fan experience. And we hope to see a lot of our community members out there to watch these young players and to just connect with folks in the community this summer.
That is great. It is a great family outing. Been gone for years, and when we had kids, and you always run into somebody you know.
Definitely.
And sometimes you don't even have to really like the game, although I love the game and find it fascinating. But there's always, it's just such a community feel and a family feel. So, anyway, I interrupted. I'm sorry. Going on. So, you have the Volcanoes. You were talking about the Cultural Center.
So, I wanted to highlight the Cultural Center. A lot of people know it as the Kaiser Heritage Center. It's the 102-year-old old schoolhouse that is next to the Civic Center. It was remodeled when it was moved down to that location several years ago and has been home of the Kaiser Art Association and the Kaiser Community Library and the Kaiser Museum, the Heritage Museum. A year ago, Kaiser Homegrown Theater took over the other upstairs space and created a space for them, a permanent home for our community theater. And it's been wonderful to have them there. But they have a full slate this year, so if you go on their website, you'll see what they are going to be offering for theater. But even more exciting is the different ways that Kaiser Community Theater, Homegrown Theater, is partnering with the art, library, and museum for all sorts of fun events. And it celebrates our Kaiser cultural history, music, art, and also other groups can come in to do performances. This weekend is the show Art will be just running for this weekend, and I'm looking forward to seeing it Saturday night.
Art. All right. If you're looking for something besides the Roadster Show or after the Roadster Show, you can come out and check this out in Kaiser. I forgot to mention something or ask about something. You mentioned the Planning Commission. That's like Salem, a volunteer position of citizens, right?
Correct.
So if you're listening and you are a Kaiserite, right, and you want to have some say in how Kaiser grows and how things get planned out, then you can volunteer to serve on the Planning Commission.
It's you another can
one
also
of those ways to plug in.
There's a lot of open houses being held right now. So if you want to be either on the mailing list or just follow it on Facebook, on our City of Kaiser Facebook page, we have open houses for each of these studies that are going on. We have presentations from all of our consultants, pictures. Now, I do like the pictures. It really helps get across what we're talking about for the buildable lands, housing, cost of growth, River Road and Cherry Avenue, opportunities. You know, what are they thinking? What are some of the possibilities within our current growth boundary? And as well as what would that look like also for some of the lands around us?
Mayor Clark, how is the cost of living in Kaiser different than Salem or some of the other areas in the valley in terms of, we were talking during the break, there's a fire district, so you have a tax base for the fire. But in terms of cost of housing and cost of civic taxes and property taxes, is that a lower amount for the average household?
Our property taxes are the lowest property taxes for a full-service city in Oregon.
What?
We are $208 per thousand. And that's with Oregon state law.
I'm going to let you say that again. Your property taxes are the lowest?
Our city property taxes are the lowest of any full service city in Oregon.
Wow.
Now, there are a number of cities that have zero property tax because they didn't establish their rate prior to 1996, whenever that deadline was for establishing a rate. So they've got some issues that have never been resolved. And there's a number of cities in that situation. Ours are at $208 per thousand. It was set back in the 90s. And we've been operating as best we can with as the highest level of efficiencies we can, with cross-training personnel, using technology. We created the Civic Center with the idea that we have expansion opportunities, so we don't have to build another one for the foreseeable future. A lot of flexibility in that space. We try to take every single tax dollar and make it scream for mercy as we grab $2 worth of value out of it.
I appreciate that. We've talked about this in the past, and we talked about having like the Salem Police Facility. Build it for the future. build it for the future. Build it once. And as a taxpayer, I only want to pay for it once. In my lifetime, I only want to pay for it once. So good for you. I like the sound of that. We were talking in a previous segment about the partnership and intergovernmental agreements you have for things that a larger city like Salem might have, like a housing authority. Well, folks, what that does is it takes administration. Instead of having two administrations, you have one. So the cost of the administration, be it water or housing authorities and things like that, that kind of collaboration in the Valley does actually benefit the taxpayer. So thank you for that.
You bet.
Thank you. Anytime I see government leadership and they're looking after the taxpayer and trying to do at least operate in a fiscally responsible manner, I'd like it. So good job.
Well, our staff has made it their mission. They're very personally invested in making sure that they provide a level of service and quality, and they look for not only cost savings, but efficiencies, because spending less doesn't necessarily get you a better value. But if you can use those dollars effectively, then you're getting a value for the taxpayer. So we want to make sure that we're using them well, just not using them less.
No pun intended to your water source.
Using it well.
Okay. What are some of the opportunities that exist now, even if without expansion, for growth or new things coming to Kaiser?
Well, we're looking at, we have some lands that are not developed or are undeveloped. Mm-hmm. So if we can make zoning changes that make it easier for local property owners to get more use out of their land, we are definitely interested in that. That's part one of the studies we're looking at is what changes can we make to our zoning codes to make it easier for properties to modernize. We don't want to be that, well, it's been that way for 20 years, we're going to leave it that way, when it's not really serving the needs of the people now. And when you're investing, you're not investing for today. You're investing for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that our codes and our processes are helping that move into the future rather than getting stuck in the past.
So I look at Kaiser Station, and actually things are immediately surrounding Kaiser Station, like the housing and the retirement care facility and so forth. How would you characterize Kaiser Station? A success, a work in progress, fantastic addition. How would you characterize it?
Kaiser Station was definitely a fantastic addition, not only to the city of Kaiser, but also to our metropolitan area. It is the first really heavily developed area you see coming into the Kaiser-Salem metro area. It's very accessible. The stores there have done very well. There's a number of them that in their chain that they are one of the higher producing franchises or locations for that company. And that's because it's accessible. It's very well easy to see. And also they do a great job. The other thing I tell people who want to bring businesses to Kaiser or grow their businesses is don't look at Kaiser as a beta market because we are only the 13th largest city in the state. We are an alpha market. If you're going to succeed here, you better bring your A game. Because being as connected as we are as a community, the word gets out. If you're doing a good job, boy, we're going to be there. And we're going to be telling our neighbors. And we're going to make sure that we are as supportive as we can be. But if you try to shortcut, or worse, the customer service isn't what it should be, they're not going to make it. Kaiser Station was put together by professionals who understood that. The businesses who have gone in there have brought their A game. And they have done well. And they have succeeded. They are hiring and keeping hired local employees. These are good jobs. And an opportunity for growth on our economic side. They are retail. I get that, but not entirely. We also have health services out there, and those are family wage jobs. And the other two areas that are still waiting to develop, what we call areas B and C, also will have very likely office and medical and other types of facilities, bringing more family wage jobs into our community. We want those. We want those jobs that people can live and work here. We have people who work at the medical facility that chose to live in the neighborhood right next to it because they love to walk to work. I don't blame them.
Yeah, how fantastic. And there is that incredible diversity there. It's not, of course, you have a Starbucks, but you have restaurants, and then you have a big box store. And you get a big box of doors. And you've got, like you said, the medical facility with Kaiser Permanente there and so, and more to come. All right, Mayor Kathy Clark, we're going to take one more break and finish up the hour. Thank you for being with us. You're listening to Newsmakers. This is 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. Dave Bourne is off on a family vacation this week. So we have Kathy Clark in the studio, the mayor of Kaiser. I hope you are realizing now, having listened to Kathy most of this hour, why she is mayor. She is passionate about Kaiser. She's been around, and she speaks authoritatively, doesn't she? Yeah, I got Hunter here helping me. He's like, yeah, she's got it down. So I get wound up on a topic, and she can speak to it, excited and authoritative. She knows her stuff. So you kind of ducked it a little bit, but how long are you going to be mayor? When's your current term?
I just started my third term. Okay. So I've been on city council now for 12 years. I did two terms as a city councilor, and then I was elected mayor in 2014. I have to think back a little bit. 16 and 18, and we will continue this as long as we both shall love.
Okay, as long as they still love you being there, and so you still love serving. That is great. Well, thank you for your service. I want to cycle back to our first segment here and just wrap on the urban growth boundary discussion. You said it, and I know it's tied into the Salem urban growth boundary, but their housing inventory is different than your housing inventory. I heard the Speaker of the House talk earlier this week, actually, about how to bring down the cost of housing and what is affordable housing and how do we get the cost of housing down. I raised my hand. I'm like, don't you increase supply? And can't you do something to shorten the length of time for a review for urban growth boundary expansion and all of the administration and bureaucracy around this whole thing? If you could expedite that whole process, then more cities could create supply of land and that bring down the cost of land. Because in the building industry, with SDCs, at least in the Salem market, because the SDCs, there go the acronyms again. But the requisite development charges that the city collects every time, you know, if you're going to buy a new house, you could be into it for $140,000 before you started leveling the lot.
So let's talk for a moment about systems development charges. Those are very, very important to create the infrastructure to support any sort of development. Why do we have to do that? Go back to our property tax limitations. Cities have very, very few resources in order to build the infrastructure and maintain it. So we have to look at making sure that what is happening pays for itself. Systems development charges are not even covering the true costs of putting in the foundational services necessary for growth or redevelopment. So while there's a great deal of criticism regarding systems development charges, and they are expensive, infrastructure costs money, it's expensive, and you have to put it in up front. So if there's another way to fund infrastructure development to support redevelopment or new development, that would give cities another tool to be able to provide land that's ready to go. But we don't have a whole lot available to us, aside from property taxes, franchise fees, and specifically for development, the SDCs or systems development charges. We just don't have a back pocket to say, yeah, we can go ahead and pull out a few more million dollars and put this in.
Mm-hmm.
Urban renewal districts are another way to do it. Kaiser doesn't have one. We did have one. We sunsetted it and turned that money back over to all of the overlapping jurisdictions. There are new restrictions on urban renewal districts, how you do them, and more importantly, for the ones that are ongoing in other cities, if you have to sunset them or keep them going, is a lot more complicated. So I think a really robust conversation about what it takes to put in development would be really, really helpful. supply of the land is one piece, but the infrastructure, the zoning, and all those other pieces are going to work together so we can create the buildings and the facilities that we need for the future.
I think I'm going to have to do an entire show on SDCs because there's actually more than two sides of it in terms of, and there's so many different kinds of system development charges and the kinds of things they can pay for and cannot pay for because
they're very limited.
The developer has to put in his own water lines mm-hmm. and his own sewer lines and then storm drain lines. The developer has to bring in the electricity. The developer has to A, B, and C. They have to pay for all of these things, and typically the city doesn't build the new road when something new goes in. However, the city may have to widen an intersection because of the higher impact. They may have to upgrade the size of a pipe or a supply because of the impact of growth, and those are the kinds of things. And so I think we'll do that in a whole nother show. Otherwise,
I think we just set you up for quite a while.
All right, Mayor. Okay, so coming up, you have a couple of things happening in the city coming up. Obviously, the Irish Festival, it's a signature event.
Absolutely.
And we were reading, and we had a local author in and reading his whole book on facts about Salem and how it's the largest event of its kind ever in heaven. It's the Kaiser Irish Festival. So that's coming up in...
That's the month of May. We have events all month long, and the Kaiser Chamber of Commerce is the host for all of those events, so check out their website.
Okay.
And then the State of the City for the City of Kaiser will be on March 12th, hosted by the Kaiser Chamber of Commerce, and I will be there. Folks can come and listen. There's a charge for lunch, but no charge to just sit and listen to the presentation.
All right, State of the City, you get to give that speech. Where is it?
It's going to be at the Kaiser Civic Center.
And it's sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you're going to say a big long prayer before that, right?
I always do.
And I'm kidding. And if you've missed the show where I ranted a little bit and the Salem mayor was wrongfully criticized for allowing someone to have the audacity to pray at the beginning of a Rotary meeting in which he was the guest speaker. So he did, as you know, I'm sure you paid attention, but I ranted about that a bit. So now I'm teasing in terms of heaven forbid anybody ever pray in the presence of an elected official.
I think we've got this freedom of speech thing.
Freedom of religion. It's,
and
yeah, I think
too.
it's in the Constitution there somewhere.
Somewhere around the Amendment 1-ish.
All right, so it sounds like Kaiser's got a lot going on, and they're doing a lot administratively to keep ahead of the game. Okay, really quickly, we're in our last minute. Is Kaiser going to have to expand their own UGB separate from Salem?
We are doing all the studies, so we will be able to have an informed conversation community-wide to decide what our future is going to be.
That sounded like a mayor. An informed conversation community-wide to decide our future. And it might be necessary, folks, because as we're talking about, there's room for growth in Salem. There's not room for growth in Kaiser, but they have to share the same boundary, right? All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Mayor Kathy Clark. I know it's during your lunch hour and you had to travel, so thank you so much for being here, and I hope to see you again soon.
Thank you.
You're welcome to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem and Kaiser is listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.